Welcome back to another episode of No More Leadership BS. I am Jeff Conroy from Conroy Leadership Consulting, and I am here with my favorite cast of characters, Jeff, Myra, and Dr. Sam. How's everybody doing?
Super good.
Awesome.
Great. You guys sound so enthusiastic.
I did a cartwheel. What do you want?
Yeah. And how's your back?
It's bad shape now. Thanks for asking.
So this episode is something that I've been working on. I did a presentation the other day on it, and I wanted to expound on this a little bit more. Talking about the different generations in the workplace and how do we retain the different generations in the workplace. What's really interesting, you may not know this, it's the first time in history that we have five generations in the workplace right now. Because of COVID, the older generations are coming back to work because of suffering 401ks or stock markets and things like that. So they're coming back to work. So we have the different generations. So how do you think a 65-year-old does with a 34-year-old manager?
Incredibly well.
Incredibly.
I'm just going to throw that out there and see what sticks.
It's just really interesting because each generation, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but each generation has different needs, wants, and wishes. The boomer generation really wants to mentor the millennials and the Gen Zers. The Gen Zers and the millennials want to be mentored, but the boomers aren't big on social media and aren't big on email, where millennials and Gen Zers are huge on those types of things. So there's some changes that need to happen. There's some changes that need to happen in the workplace that leaders need to be aware of in order to retain the five generations. So I want to talk about that today. So I've got a handful of questions, and then I'm going to throw them out to you guys, and I'm going to ask you to answer them. Because these are vital. If we're going to succeed in our workforce, because there's already a shortage in the workforce, because the millennials are having less kids than the Gen Xers and the boomers had, so there's going to be less people in the workforce. People are living longer. People are going to stay in the workforce longer. It's just going to domino down the line. So I've got a handful of questions. I'm going to start with my friend, Mr. Geyer. What can leaders do differently to better resonate the values and expectations of their organization to the younger generations that work for them?
That's a great question, Jeff. There are numerous things, and I would start with, if you're the more experienced leader and you're trying to resonate or connect with younger people, is to first recognize that those younger people don't think the way you think. When I stop and tell myself that, it's almost a no-brainer, because at my current age, 60 years old, plus a couple, nobody's counting, but I don't think today the way I thought when I was 30.
Exactly.
And when you're 30, you weren't thinking the way you thought when you were 18. So recognizing that the decades of experience and the mindset that I have as an experienced leader, I have to understand that the people that I'm leading don't necessarily think like me. So you have to start there. This difference between Gen Z and Y and X and all of that is true. People grew up in different generations. They had different things. I didn't grow up with a cell phone, as an example. And so if as a leader, you believe that those generational differences really don't make a difference, let me tell you, and I'll be very clear, you are wrong.
Yeah.
And you need to educate yourself to what those differences are.
Yeah. What's really interesting in studying this, a generation is defined by life experiences, a similar life experiences. So the boomers' life experiences, which ended in 1964. So they were dealing with civil rights, the assassinations in the late 60s, the Apollo missions. When you look at the Gen Zers, the things they're dealing with are mass school shootings and the Afghan-Iraqi war. Those are pretty definitive life incidences to refer back to. So me going to talk to a Gen Zer to tell them about how cool I thought NASA was and how the Apollo Mission 11 was pretty cool, they're going to look at me, but they're going to go, that's neat. Yeah. But they'll say, I read about that in the history book. But they're going to say, I'm dealing with school shootings and a global war. Generations are defined by life experiences. Myra, I'm going to turn to you next, if that's okay. Turnover and retention is expensive. When you turn over and you got to hire new people and you're constantly in hiring mode, it's expensive. It's cheaper to keep an employee than to replace an employee. Wouldn't we all agree on that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So how does recognition and appreciation play in the role in retaining a Gen Z employee and millennial employee? How does recognition feed into that?
Oh, boy, do I have an opinion on this. The opinion away, I think recognition is so important, and appreciation, both of them carried in the same handbasket. Make sure that it is authentic. Because if there's one thing that Gen Zers and millennials will pick up faster than anything else, is being manipulated.
Yep.
And if you try to just use that as a tactic, then I personally will pick up on it real quick as well. And I hate it. I feel like I'm being disrespected and they think that I don't see what's going on. But it is important, as long as it's authentic and you're not using it as a tool just to keep them on the payroll type of thing.
Manipulate them.
Manipulate them. Yeah. And it's not hard. It doesn't always have to be a big deal. If somebody is in the habit of 10 minutes early every day, say, that is just noticing it, just being noticed.
Yeah.
Can go a long ways. Gosh, I see you are always on time getting ready. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just showing appreciation for the little things and not waiting for the big honors.
Yeah.
It builds up trust, because that's what appreciation does, is it builds trust. Mm-hmm. And it opens a lot of dialogue as well. May not know it, but maybe that's the only bus they can catch, and it gets them there 10 minutes early.
Absolutely.
That you just don't know, but until you notice and say something about it in a positive way, then they would never think that you even saw them so many of the times.
Exactly. Years ago, I learned the acronym ARE, appreciate, recognize, and encourage. And people want that. It's, to me, it's free fuel. It's free fuel for exceptional performance. If you appreciate people, recognize people, and encourage people, they'll do amazing things for you. To Myra's point, I believe that everybody, and it doesn't matter what generation you're in, want to build relationships. Get to know them. Say good morning. Say hello. Ask about their family. Ask about their kids. People got stuff going on in their life. One of the important things is every office, I call them invisible people, have invisible people that sit and just do their job and no one really talks to them. Go talk to them. Build relationships with them. Because your influence with people is only as strong as your relationship with them. Wouldn't we agree with that? Sam, I want to go to you next, my friend. You ready? Braced and ready. Diversity and inclusion. Diversity and inclusion are crucial in today's workplace. How can organizations create an inclusive environment that retains a diverse workforce to include Gen Z and millennials?
Mm-hmm. One thing I was thinking of in this prior conversation is the things we all want, like you described, relationships, be treated with dignity and respect. Those are good baselines. When they start to fall apart is when we assume we know what that means to the other person. So even as you described in your relationship, ask about their family, ask how they're doing. Some folks are going to hear that and go, no, thank you. Yeah. I don't want that.
You're being intrusive.
And we don't know each other like that, so stop asking about my people. But once you start having conversations about work and even the introductions to work, so for example, somebody who is new-ish, the company, not brand new, but new-ish, you'd ask them, I'm glad you're here. You're doing good work. Let me learn your story. How did you get here? Not the application process, but what led you to this space, which gets into a little bit of background in a comfortable way without getting to the point of where were you born?
Like, yeah.
Why are you stealing my credit card information? What are you asking me this?
Yeah, it's a gateway question.
Get to the point of the diversity inclusion aspect is there is a lot of energy spent in trying to recruit folks to fill a quota. I'm not being cute about that. It really is trying to say, now we can put a certain type of person on our company website and we will look diverse.
Yep.
That's the wrong goal. The goal is, do you have a space where folks feel comfortable in who they are, how they are in an appropriate workspace, such that we can recruit folks and who want to be here. It's not an accounting exercise. It's an inclusion exercise.
Yeah.
And by respecting other folks' needs, wants, and differences, and giving up some of your own a little bit. I can't always be who I feel like I want to be in the moment. That's because I'm in a society with other people. So that means I have to go meet them their direction a little bit, and it's okay. It's not giving up your values. It's just appreciating that things change based on circumstances. My favorite clumsy example is the manner in which you dine at a fast food place versus a steakhouse. Completely different. Still the same process, but completely different expectations and behavior.
Yeah. I love what you said. This is an inclusion exercise, not an accounting exercise. Because you're right. And inclusion and diversity goes beyond just race and color. It's gender. It's identification. It's everything. Right. It goes totally beyond that. Great comments. Great comments. Mr. McLaughlin.
Yo, 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 what up it is?
And this is right up your alley, my brother. What role does mentoring and coaching play in retaining younger talent? And how can organizations implement effective mentorship programs? I figured this is right up your alley.
I'm going to go with my traditional, I don't know. Oh my gosh. So I literally just got done working with, what's after Gen Z? Is there something after Gen Z? Is it?
It's Gen Alpha. And right now they're 10 years old.
Oh, okay. No, not those ones. The ones that's just about, so I guess the tail end of Gen Z.
Millennials.
And the tail end of Gen Z.
Oh. Okay.
The tail, not the head end, the tail end,
the back
backside.
End. That's alpha. The tail. Yeah, that's alpha.
Veggie tails. Okay. And I can tell you that they are.
Tails. Those are millennials.
One of my favorite cartoons. I loved it. God. It's so interesting because with working with them, I saw like just this week, like they are desperate for connection. They so want to be connected. They want to be a part of something bigger than themselves.
Yes.
And at the same time, they're incredibly scared to step out because of the judgment and because of everything else that goes along with being young, having access to so much technology, to the fear of comparison, all the things. There's so much that's holding them back. But if you have mentorship, if you have somebody that actually can genuinely show that they care and step up alongside of them, then I would say that yes, indeed, they can be fantastic, but they need that encouragement.
Yes.
They need somebody to actually pull up beside them and say, hey, we're going to do this together and we're going to make sure that you get through this and that you have all the skills you need to be successful. And then we're going to start going from there.
Yeah.
And so they really want to be a part of something. They just oftentimes don't know how. And I've seen this change happen I'm a Gen Xer. And so I've seen this happen with millennials. I got family members that are millennials where I just scratch my head and go, we're not that far apart. How did you end up this way? And then I look at my kids who are Gen Z and I go, okay, what skills can I give them so that they have an advantage? Because if they know how to do stuff, if they are able to communicate effectively via face-to-face conversations, run a meeting, they have an outgoing personality where they can actually say, I'm going to reach out to people and I'm going to check in and I'm actually going to be the one who's doing the effort to make those relationships happen. Mm-hmm. And not just on social media, but they also have the social media skills. They've got the computer skills. They've got the technology stuff down. That right there is a full package. Because if you now have those skills and people skills, holy cows, you're going to go so much farther than someone with just, I can program all day and all night, but you just put me in a room and don't talk to me. And that's good too. Exactly. And there are some of those people out there like that.
There are. And that's one of the umbrella identifiers for the Gen Zers is they just want to, what's their job and just leave them alone and let them do their job.
Mm-hmm. I identify with that as well. I just want, if every time I've had a job, I'm like, no, just let me do my thing. Don't tell me how to do it. Just let me do my thing. Right. I will do it more spectacularly than you think. Just leave me alone. Do not micromanage me because I will probably punch you.
Yeah.
I get violent now that I'm older.
Yeah. Now you're just a grumpy old man.
Now I'm a grumpy old man. You put a frosty beverage in my hand and give me a rocking chair. Oh, you better watch out. Things get real bad real fast.
Don't get on his lawn.
Don't get on my yard.
Get off my yard.
And then you've got the boomers, like I said earlier, they got the boomers that want to share and want to mentor the younger generations. And I really do see that as a wonderful marriage because between the generations, they're between Gen X and boomers or Gen X and millennials, and then millennials and X, there's a gap. There's a gap of lack of talent, a lack of people. And so we need the boomers to share that knowledge. There's going to be a skip in the knowledge train. So they need to mentor the millennials and the Gen Zers to carry on the skills and the talent. Another fun fact, kids entering school today, what they say, 85% of those jobs haven't even been invented yet. because technology is moving so quickly. The other fun fact that I found out about is the guiding system for Apollo 11, the chip in that, is the same size chip that is in a Hallmark birthday card, singing birthday card. I thought that was kind of mind-blowing too.
Wow. So, yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah. So technology is rolling, man. Technology is rolling. If I'm a leader and I want to retain millennials and Gen Zers, I would really focus on purposeful work. People, they're not really overly interested in how many years you've been with the company. They want to know what kind of experiences you've had at that company. They want to know that where you started from, things that you've done, trainings that they sent you to, promotions that you've had. They want to see an upward mobility chain that they can relate to, and they want it to fit their personal values, and they want to make a societal impact. They want that career development. They want to be bigger, better, faster, and they're going to want to do it in a shorter amount of time. They want that work-life balance. They want the opportunity to work remotely. So these are some things as we're getting older and business is changing post-COVID, these are the things that if you want to keep millennials and Gen Zers for long term, these are some things you need to pay attention to. You need to pay attention to coaching and developing their career. I'm a big believer in don't train people. You need to develop them and give constant feedback, constructive feedback, good, and treat them with integrity and respect. So is there anything before I start closing this out that anybody wants to add to how do we keep millennials and Gen Zers in the workplace?
Ask a lot of questions. Don't assume because they fall into a particular generational definition that they want to be treated with that umbrella definition. There may be some boomers who are thriving with the technology spaces and just social media love it. Yeah. And then there may be some Gen Zers who couldn't care at all about some of the traditional Gen Z type things.
Right.
So yeah, just ask. Have conversations. You know,
I had that thought as well, only it went in a little bit different direction, is no matter what umbrella you fit under, you're still a person. Exactly. An individual person, and you're worthy of getting to know. Yeah. And to make decisions, although I understand the value of the umbrella because it helps us understand a group, but it doesn't always apply to the individual person. So that personal relationship, I think, is as much as possible and within a business setting is very important to retention.
I 100% agree. People quit people, not the job.
That is so true.
Thank you.
There you go.
And one of the things I would add there, Jeff, as we close down this episode, is that it depends upon how big a department or company you're leading. If you own a company that has a half a dozen employees, that's a different thing than you being a senior vice president that has 500 employees.
Agreed.
In your responsibility. We're never going to get, although, golly, as leaders, wouldn't we like it? We're never going to get to the place where our turnover rate is zero.
Correct. 100% retention.
We're just not. In fact, there's no such thing as 100% retention. And that's because, as you were saying earlier, Jeff, as leaders, we're developing people. And as those people develop, they're going to naturally go to different opportunities.
Yep.
And that's one of the things we want to have happen.
Yep.
And right. It's the culture and all of that stuff that attracts people. It's what retains them. It's also what develops them so they can move on to other opportunities.
100%. I always felt that my job as a leader was to create more leaders. And if I ever had a supervisor, as I call them lieutenants, if I had lieutenants that would go off and lead other organizations, I did my job. And now I've got an ally and an ambassador in the community.
Exactly.
I think that's important. So if you're listening to this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. If it's a 4-star review, please let us know how we can make that a 5-star review for you. We want to make this podcast the best resource that you will ever have. If you'd like to email us at askus@leadershipbs.co. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, askus@leadershipbs.co. Email us there. And if you want to text us, you can even text us. And that's at 986-213-0621.
Make sure you text before you call because we won't answer the phone.
That's right.
If we don't know who it is.
Because nobody uses phones for what they were originally designed.
Give me my rocking chair.
That's right.
Pick up a live grenade that answer a call from a number I don't know.
That's correct. On behalf of my friends here at the No More Leadership BS crew, Jeff, Sam and Myra. I'm sorry, Myra and Dr. Sam. We welcome you to another episode next week, and we'll see you there. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.